The devastating wildfire in Colorado has destroyed nearly 1,000 homes, but the Boulder County Sheriff's Office warns that number could go up. Right now, three people are still missing, and you can see in this video homes charred, burned to the ground as the sun looms over the destruction. So far, utility officials have found no downed power lines where that fire sparked, but authorities are pursuing a number of tips as to what started it. News Nation's Rachel Skida talked to a man who may have witnessed the start of that fire.
And the wind is so strong.
A scary sight along Highway 93.
That's somebody's barn.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That soon turned to terror.
I had no idea how big the fire could have been.
Anjan Subkota captured what appears to be a shed on fire near the intersection of El Dorado Springs Drive. This was Thursday in the area where the Marshall Fire was first reported and not long after firefighters got the first call.
Well, at first, I thought, well, that's a big fire. And then maybe I should record it.
He kept recording as the fire took off to the east.
That's within 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Taking over towns and forcing tens of thousands out of their homes. He had no idea how much damage this day would bring.
Who would have known that I would have been recording this video that would have marked such a devastating event.
Now, a very different scene at that same intersection. El Dorado Springs Drive closed heading east with a line of unmarked vehicles along the road. A sheriff's office vehicle blocked the driveway leading to that shed, which is now just a piece of twisted metal sticking out from the snow.
I mean, I have no word. It's just very sad.
In Boulder County, Rachel Skida reporting.
Some of the residents forced to escape that wildfire have been seeking shelter at the YMCA of Northern Colorado. And CEO Chris Coker is joining me live from Lafayette in Colorado right now. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for everything you're doing for the people you're helping right now.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
So the YMCA is now an evacuation shelter. What are you seeing? How many people are you serving right now?
Well, the numbers have dropped. We started out with about 400 families on the first night. And what was happening, that fire, as you saw from the video, was moving so fast that, as our sheriff said, it wasn't about fighting the fire, it was about getting people out of the way of the fire. We thought that there would be hundreds of casualties. And so far, apparently, there's just about three people missing. So the YMCA is almost always a shelter in circumstances like this here and around the country. It's what the YMCA does in the communities. So they just started bringing people to us before the Red Cross got here, before the emergency management. The Y was open and taking people in and getting ready to serve as a shelter again.
And what are you hearing? You know, you're hearing all of these harrowing stories, I'm sure. What are people telling you about how they got out and the things they left behind and everything they're going through?
I think, you know, we see so much of this on TV in different parts of the world where there's these incredible disasters. And I think almost to a certain extent, we become numb to it. But I remember on the first night, we had a bunch of people in our conference room, and there was some families there, and they saw that their house had just burned down. They saw it on the news, and that look of shock. My predecessor, who was the CEO of this Y, I've been here about 13 years at this Y, his house burned down, and he came in to the shelter to get some food and dog and cat food for his pets and just some clothes. Everything he had is gone. And so this has hit home. These are hundreds of our members and their stories about them. So they lost their animals because they ran from terror. It really made us so sad, the stories that we've been hearing. It's been very affecting for the staff.
Yeah, it's devastating, and to see people's grief up close and personal like that, and all of them have, you know, these stories and these losses that they're dealing with. We're hearing the reports of 1,000 homes lost.
Yes.
And
it's 1,000 structures, and some of those are apartment buildings and things like that. So what happens is you'll have an apartment building with 100 units in it that's gone, and it can be fairly massive. The other thing is that's hard. I think we all do the banalities of, of, hey, it's just stuff, it's just this, but man, it's all of their things.
Yeah, it's they're all meaningful to someone, and you're also dealing right now with a storm, freezing temperatures coming. What is the long-term plan for these families, or even the longer-term plan for these families who have lost everything this new year? Because you must worry about them.
Yeah,
you know they're safe when they're there.
I would say the longer-term plan is how do you rebuild 1,000 homes this fast? And so there's already a housing shortage in Colorado. So pretty tricky. It's going to be pretty tricky to get everybody rehomed right away. And thank God that we had, like I said, about 400 families the first night here. And now I think we're down to about 37 here, and we're finding places for them, temporary and families and friends, or they're going back home to where other family members are around the country. So it's the numbers are dropping pretty quickly.
All right, Chris Coker, thank you again for making the time for us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.